Is Christianity at this stage at home in the Arctic, or is it still an outside influence? It's a relatively young church, isn't it?
Christianity as an organized church, we're probably a second or third generation group now. That is to say, my father-in-law, for instance, was introduced to Christianity as a young adult. It wasn't something he was born into. So it's fairly young, but it's, at the same time, it's a growing trend. And I think that now it's strong enough that... Well, I'll give you an example. The traditional religion of these people was a form of animism or shamanism. And it was very strong, and every community or every tribe, every group, because they didn't live in communities at the time, but every family grouping had access to a shaman of one sort or another. And so you would think that there would be stories abounding about the work of the shaman or the religion of the shaman. But here we are in the second generation Christianity, and I've tried, since I've got here, to find anybody who will talk to me about the old ways, just so that I can try to understand these people. And for the most part, they either don't know or they don't want to talk about it, because it's something that's past. They refer to it that which was gone before. It doesn't belong to us anymore. So they put it out of their mind. So I would say Christianity is a very strong religious base here now. We do have other groups beginning to come in, the Baha'i, and some other groups are beginning to come into the North. Jehovah's Witnesses are constantly trying to make inroads. But I would say that for the norm, Christianity is the basis, the religious basis of the people now.
In many countries that I visited, I've found sometimes the message of Christianity is confused in the minds of many people, both the priests and the local population, as being equated with European culture. Are there any ways, like I see, for example, you robe in the choir robes in a modified medieval style. Are there ways in which Inuit culture has been or could be incorporated in the way the church operates and the types of ministries that it pursues and how it fulfills them?
I've wrestled with the question of a European Christian influence in here since my seminary days, and I haven't found a satisfactory answer yet. We do try to convince the people that the religion that they follow is their own religion. It's not imported from England. It doesn't necessarily have to look to Canterbury, or in the Roman case, to Rome, for its impetus. Is that the right word? For its growth. It can come from themselves. But in a lot of cases, the Inuit themselves have difficulty with that. I know of cases in the not-so-distant past where, given a choice between having a white, or rather a European-Canadian, European-American priest and an Inuk priest, the community chooses to have a European-American for one reason or another. We try to get the Inuit... These are just surface things. The color of skin of the priest, for instance, or we try to get the Inuit to do crafts so that instead of having a crucifix made of wrought iron and gold plate, we have a crucifix of whalebone or something, and we try to get these things incorporated in the church, and in many cases, they don't want them. They don't feel it's part of the right way to be. I have a hunch that's to do with my predecessors, or our predecessors, in that this is we have to put away the things of the Inuit because we are going to become good little Christians, which means Europeans. And it was very colonizing kind of mentality that the older clergy used to have when they first came here. So it's hard now to think of Christianity in other than a European form, although it is something that I and certainly many of my colleagues are trying to bring about.
Are there any common values? Is there any commonality in traditional values of the Inuit society and the Christian? I think like the sharing of everything and unselfishness and lack of ambition and so on and so on.
If you take away the dross, if you take away the clothing, you take away the all the paraphernalia that our religion produces, and I don't use that derogatorily, but you take all that away, and at heart, the message that Christ brought to Jerusalem and Judea, and the lifestyle that he brought to those people, is very much the lifestyle that these people have always lived. They've lived it here as a matter of self-preservation. If they didn't have this sharing amongst themselves of everything they possessed, they would have perished. Christ came 2,000 years ago to preach that we needed that. The people here have always lived that because that's the way of their survival. And so there's a lot of commonality, there's a lot of touch points between the Inuit way of life as it has traditionally been, or rather as I have seen that it's traditionally been. I must admit that being a European American, my view of the Inuk life of yesteryear is perhaps somewhat fictional, because I haven't lived here, so I don't know. But my view of their life before the missionaries came is very much in tune with what Christ had been teaching. It was just a matter of helping them to realize that there is a God who is not one that has to be feared, but one who reaches out in love to them, as opposed to the old belief, which was that of the gods, the people were kind of the playthings of the gods, and they had to be constantly appeasing the god. There was no love between God and people in the old religion. It was simply the people would do whatever they could to survive, and part of surviving meant making sure the gods were happy. But aside from that, if we just look at the lifestyle of the Inuit people, yes, there are very many common touch points between the Inuit life, even today, it still persists, and the life that Christ came to ask us to live.
Do they recognize that, or only you?
I think more and more people are recognizing it themselves. They're saying things like, well, this is the way we've always been. And then as they look at their life now, as they look at how they're caught up with the other evidences of European civilization, the constant going to the bay to buy things, the constant looking for the money, the constant alcohol use and abuse, as they look at those things and their minds hearken back to the way they used to be, or the way their fathers and grandfathers used to be, they're beginning to realize that what the priest is saying in church is exactly the way we used to live anyway. And so in a way, what I'm doing is simply calling them back to their earlier lifestyles, but infusing that with with a Christian duty as well. Saying that, I realize that I could be held suspect for putting a superficial Christianity on what they're living, but they're realizing that the way of life that they had without their religion, if we could separate their way of life from their religion, the way of life they had was exactly what Christ wants. But they're misled because of the animism or the spiritualism, and the Christian aspect or the Christian lifestyle includes a relationship between God and themselves, which they lacked. And so I'm not superimposing Christianity onto their lifestyle, but helping them to realize that the two are hopefully intertwined. Yeah. Traditionally, the Inuit people have always, as I was saying earlier, have always had an attitude of sharing. It was a matter of survival. And when a hunter would come back with a load of fish or with a lot of seal or caribou meat, then everybody in his family grouping would be permitted to take some. That wasn't necessarily just his family, but all those who happened to be camping with that family group. It could be maybe three or four extended families. Now that we've moved into communities, for the most part, that whole process has been writ large. Although it's not now possible for one hunter to come back from a hunt and everybody in the community gets one piece of what he's got. But usually what will happen now is a hunter like a Luki, or will or Aiki or somebody will come back from a hunt and will share what he's got, be it fish, caribou meat, seal meat, bear meat, with the people who haven't been able to get out, usually the elders or those who have been infirm or disabled for one reason or another. There's one dear man who, whenever he comes back from a hunt, particularly with fish, he'll bring two fish over here. And I'm quite sure it's not to me particularly, but to the people who live in this house who are not able to hunt. It's got... we would like to think, I presume that we would like to think that this is a Christian outpouring, but really it's got to do with their culture. This is the way they've always lived, and they've just continued it on. I think we'd like to take credit for it, but it's a cultural thing, and I think it's one of the nicest things about this culture, and one of the things that I would miss dearly if I went down south.